This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place. And Kennedy Tax Solutions, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's me. It's her. It's Wednesdays with Denise.
DB and DQ.
On Newsmakers. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. You miss me?
Every week. Every week. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I had to recover from a day job obligation I had, and I basically took an entire day, and it was nothing but Netflix and coffee. And
I'm
my couch.
Jealous.
I was so tired. This kind of kicked my butt. I was really, really tired, and I thought to myself, I'm really getting old. And I need better shoes because I was on my feet for probably 12 hours for about 3 days.
My left knee would be screaming.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, Netflix, I don't even remember what I watched, but it was just about all I had, the mental and the physical energy to do. So it's good to be back here for Wednesdays with Denise.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. And what have we got going on today?
Well, a couple of things. Ran into an individual who did a panel discussion at the recent League of Oregon Cities. They have their annual conference down in Bend. And so our guest today is Todd Stoffel. Todd, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Todd. Hey, so Todd is one of the founding members of Timber Unity. So let me read a little bit of a bio so we can get to know Todd a little bit, and then we're going to launch right in. Because today's show is really kind of all about grassroots.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, so Todd is one of the founding members of hashtag Timber Unity, and he serves as the vice president of their board. For those who don't know, which I can't imagine in this listening audience is very many people, Timber Unity is a grassroots organization working to protect the economy and jobs of rural Oregon and Southwest Washington, particularly those working in the natural resource sector. Since 2013, Todd and his wife Tammy have owned and operated GT Stoffel Trucking. And then, like I said, Todd recently participated in a panel discussion at the League of Oregon Cities Conference over in Bend to talk about grassroots organizing. So first of all, Todd, welcome to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
Thank you.
It is great to have you. So you, before we launch into kind of the grassroots thing, Timber Unity has been on the forefront. Gosh, we've been aware, Dave, of Timber Unity since spring. I mean, it kind of hit everybody's consciousness in the news during the 2019 session.
Right. And when I was downtown, Timber Unity was all over. And that was pretty much that grassroots thing right there.
So, Todd, can you talk to us? I mean, let's kind of do a little backtrack, and what's the history of Timber Unity? What's your history with Timber Unity? And kind of, you know, rewind the clock and let's fill everybody in on this organization.
So back in early June, when the cap and trade discussion came up and continued, it got like it was going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Who we consider the founding member, Jeff Levy, heard on the radio or the news that, you know, Stimson was going to lay off 60 more people at their mill there in Forest Grove, and it kind of hit Jeff like a ton of bricks, and he said to himself, I've got to do something. Well, as a log hauler, you know, I'd hauled logs for a long time, like you said, and I had taken my log gear off and bought a belly dump and was hauling asphalt actually down there in Salem at that time. I was messing up I-5 for everybody. Sorry.
Oh, that was you.
No, we appreciate that.
So anyway, Jeff and I passed going opposite ways on I-5. We talked on the CB a little bit, and that was that. And he said, no more. You know, we can't lose another job. You know, so many of us have rolled our sleeves up since the late 80s and 90s and just kind of, you know, battled and took what we could get with the timber industry to, you know, to continue to make a living in the sector that we enjoy. So Jeff made a few phone calls. He called Scott Heilman, and they created a Facebook page and got a hold of Adam Lardy, and he started making phone calls. And, you know, it just blossomed from there. 25 of us went to the Capitol one day. We met with legislators and got got an idea as to what was going on. We went back another time with about 75 trucks or so. Mm-hmm. That day, Herman Bearsugar brought Peter Courtney out, and he addressed us on the steps of the Capitol. And, you know, he said something that really stuck in our craw, and he told that group of people that our rural way of life was done, and we were just going to have to move to town and get the supposed green jobs that House Bill 2020 was offering.
So, Todd, that was Senator Courtney that said that to you?
Yes, it was.
And I kind of heard that mantra as well, you know, the sort of adapt, you know, these will be new jobs, which to me is rather insulting, frankly. This is it's not just a job, it's a way of life.
Exactly. It's very insulting. I myself am a fourth generation logger. I worked on the rigging and all of that when I was in my 20s. I did something different for my 30s. I got hurt, and, you know, at 41, I bought my truck and haven't looked back. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, there's multiple people that are involved with Timber Unity that are multi-generational loggers.
I've been in this region for quite a long time. I remember the early 90s. I remember the spotted owl. I remember all the controversies that come up and that always seem to sort of target, and the ones that have to change their way of lives are always you guys. So was this sort of a culmination of a couple of decades of constant, I don't want to say browbeating, but constant pressure on you to change for, you know, the environmental movements or progressives, their ideas of how things should look in the forest, urban lawmakers who really don't have any idea what it is you guys do? Was this a culmination of that, kind of the final straw?
For me, yes. It just enough was enough, and you know, as people, we have a breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fortunately, I think it was reached it was reached. There's 53,000 people in the Facebook group that have said enough. And, you know, not every one of those 53,000 is a logger. There's, you know, there's suburban housewives. There's people of all makes, models, you know, everything.
It's interesting to note that not everyone in that Facebook group is a Republican either.
That's very correct. We pride ourselves on being nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really don't care what your party affiliation is. If you're not looking out and taking care, you know, trying to do your best to take care of the people of rural Oregon, you know, rural Southwest Washington, I like to think of rural America,
mm-hmm.
We're paying attention. You know, we've seen just recently there was a big convoy up in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reading something about one that was overseas in Denmark or the Netherlands or something. They fired up a bunch of tractors and they're doing it. So it's becoming worldwide, which is just amazing.
Can you stick for us for a couple more segments, Todd? Because there's so much more to talk about.
Oh, of course.
Okay, great. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And of course, thanks to Capital Auto Group for these spacious studios, by the way.
Yeah. Yes.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. We're talking to Todd Stoffel, who is one of the founding members of Hashtag Timber Unity. Todd, before we took our break, you were saying that this movement has kind of gone global. Can you talk a little bit more about that? You said Denmark?
I believe it was Denmark. I don't have the article in front of me, but a bunch of farmers got together and put their tractors in a big convoy, and, you know, the people are saying enough, you know, tired of being overtaxed and somebody else telling us how to do it.
Yeah, and the green movement. I mean, you have a job that is most important and gets things to the table or gets people needing.
Hey, you know, how about that house you're, you're snuggling up on the couch watching Netflix in?
Yeah, right. Right, Denise?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's always interesting to me that the people that know the least about it are the ones that are trying to make all the rules. And I've always found, whether it's hunting, whether it's timber, whether it's anything, the people that are actually in those farmers, dairy farmers, they are the best stewards of whatever it is they're working in. They are the one, they care, of course they care. They care massively about the environment that they're working in. You are an environmentalist.
Well, of course. And that's been said for years. That was said back in the spotted owl.
Yeah.
Debacle that, you know, the people that are out there know the land the best. We know what works. We see it every day.
And we all know how the spotted owl turned out. It turns out it was the dastardly barred owl.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a whole different bunch of fake science there that was a disaster.
But, you know, the narrative goes by. Meanwhile, you know, an industry is decimated, families and communities. I mean, we have some counties in Oregon that have really never recovered from that.
That's exactly true. You know, there's towns that, complete towns that disappeared that are no longer. You know, you look at that Summit, Nashville, Fall City, that
mm-hmm.
area.
Yeah.
Used to be lots of, you know, tons and tons of logging stuff and you know, livings made and, you know, generational people living on the same property and doing what they loved. And it's just, you know, they're trying to control us and decide what we're going to do, and that's unfortunate.
Well, I think, you know, the pushback, I'm glad that this, you know, you guys came literally roaring into town to make your case, and I find it really sort of disconcerting that all you guys had to come in here, gals and guys, to basically beg for your jobs. That's just not right on so many levels.
It's not. You know, the United States Constitution says we have the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's, you know, being taken away. That, you know, now we have to decide what our government masters, you know, we have to let them decide for us. And, you know, that's not the American way. That's not the Oregon way.
It's not. And it rankles. I know it rankles me, and I know it rankles you, and I know it rankles the grassroots, which is a good segue into kind of what you were at that conference to talk about on that panel was grassroots organization. This is a grassroots organization. I know there were a couple of different groups that were out there, and I don't necessarily want to get into any controversial territory, but I want you to talk to our listeners about what grassroots organization means to you. Obviously, for you to be asked to be on this panel, you've got some expertise in it. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, this was a grassroots, is a grassroots organization. How did you guys initially get organized, and how do you go about talking to legislators and those people in the building that are writing these laws and making this legislation, and you are the ones that you need to go speak to them about this?
Well, to get involved, you know, it was just that point where, you know, like everybody else, I was fed up.
Yeah.
And having been, you know, involved in over the years in several different grassroots type things and clubs and this, that, and the other, I've seen what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is working and that's different with Timber Unity in particular is it's about our members. You mm-hmm. know, it's about the people that believe in us. Without them, you know, we as board members can't advocate for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's help us help you is what we like to think. You know, so it's an honor and a privilege to be able to go and speak about these different things for our membership. You know, so many people have had enough and just didn't know what to do, where to start, how to go about it, and you know, quite frankly, we don't either. We've learned a lot as we've grown. You know, we're just over 4 months old, I think. And,
wow.
And you know, there's growing pains, there's learning curves,
sure.
There's the whole nine yards. But whenever I'm asked to go somewhere and speak like I did in Bend on
mm-hmm.
the way home,
mm-hmm.
I stopped in Madras and got a drink, and the young lady behind the counter was just ecstatic, jumping up and down, gave me a big hug.
Aww.
that's what it's about for me is doing something for the people, being able to, you know, have the general population behind you and saying, we support you, we stand with you, thank you, because so many people are fed up. You know, at some point, somebody had to do something, and, you know, oftentimes you hear, why me, why me, why me? Well, this is one that I'm saying, why not me?
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like hundreds and hundreds of other Oregonians and Washingtonians, too, because it's in Idahoans, and, I mean, it's a bit of a, or is it more of a Pacific Northwest kind of movement?
I believe it's really becoming that, yes. Like you mentioned, I live in Southwest Washington, mm-hmm. and my log truck, I'm licensed in both states, so that's how it would have, you know, House Bill 2020 and 2007, the fear was how it was going to affect me and my ability to do business. You know, we started looking at the bill and talking with different legislators, and the irritating thing for me was the carve-outs.
Yeah.
You know, these great big businesses getting 30-year breaks, you know, that have the money to update their stuff, but they get a 30-year buy, and guys like me, a little one-horse show, you know, I had 5 to 7 years to replace a truck. Well, you know, you have to understand trucking. You have to look at what it costs and what it pays, and the money just isn't there to run right out and buy a brand new truck.
So do you feel like, you know, you're talking about your specific instance, I'm sure you're one of many among that organization that is a mom and pop, that is a smaller organization. Did you feel heard when you went and communicated that to legislators?
I did. You know, that first rally we had, there was 25 of us there, and we got to meet with different representatives. We met with Betsy Johnson, uh-huh. who's a senator.
Yeah.
We met with Shelley Beauchart Davis and several others, and they heard us. You know, having their support, and talking with them, you know, both in a professional and a personal matter, they've both kind of been set the framework for how we talk to other legislators.
So we mentioned earlier in the first segment that this organization is not a partisan organization. It's not a Republican organization or a Democrat organization. So you just mentioned one, Betsy Johnson is a Democrat.
Yes.
And then Beauchart Davis is a Republican. Did you feel you were heard on both sides of the aisle?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. You know, with Betsy Johnson in particular, mm-hmm. of course, there's the Portland elite,
yeah.
Democrats that, you know, when we went, Shelley invited us into the gallery of both the Senate and, you know, her House of Representatives, and then we went over to the Senate, and it was a mixed reaction. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of thumbs up and glad you guys are getting involved, but there was still a few that, you know, kind of refused to acknowledge our presence, that we were there.
Hmm.
And that was disheartening, just because we look at things differently than they do. They didn't turn around in their chairs or nothing. So that kind of, you know, kind of hurt a little bit,
yeah.
I guess you could say, because we are there. We are taking a, you know, an effort and trying to be a voice of change and you know, but
yeah.
I guess you don't have to be acknowledged for everything, so that's fine.
Well, common courtesy goes a long way, too. I don't have to agree with you, but it doesn't mean I need to be rude and ignore you either.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, and my hope, you know, because this is really a nonpartisan issue. On both sides of the aisle, we need, you know, housing, paper, you know, everything, trucking, everything comes to us via truck. So whether it's a logging truck or a big rig that's hauling stuff to Walmart, I mean, we all rely on this industry to make our lives easier.
Yes.
So, I mean, when we start, you know, poking a finger in your guys' eye and making life difficult for us and for you and making it more expensive for you to do your jobs, is there a disconnect that they don't understand that is going to impact everybody's lives?
Including them.
There is.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't understand. Fuel prices
yeah.
go up. You know, there's guys that drive long haul, you know, that they're on the road for 6-8 weeks at a time. And only get to come home for 3 or 4 days every 6 or 8 weeks, and that's how they make their living.
Yeah,
you know, it's It's pretty sad.
It's a difficult, challenging way of life that, like you said, it's generational and many people choose it. There's a lot of freedom to it as well. And it is something that you guys choose to do. And for sort of this, the I-5 corridor folks to make that harder on you, I would love it if you had this sort of go for a ride, get to know people, walk a mile in their shoes to help them better understand the impacts of legislation that seems to make sense maybe in a Marble House boardroom. But when you put it out there in the real world, it utterly falls apart and just decimates industries.
Yeah, just
without a doubt, I would love to have somebody, you know, ride along with me in the log truck, get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, leave by 1:30, and run all day and, you know, get home within your 14-hour window. And then whatever you broke, you have to fix that night and get up and do it again.
Well, we have take your kid to work day. We should have like take your legislator to work day or something, because I think it would go literally walking a mile in somebody else's shoes, seeing what it is, what the industry is about, what the challenges are, what the high points and low points are, I think would go a long way towards maybe some mutual understanding.
Almost like an undercover boss.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, you know, get somebody in rain gear and cork boots and go spend a couple days out there setting chokers and, you know, packing blocks and whatnot with the hook tender. It'd do people a lot of good.
I bet. Todd, we got to take one more quick break. I want to come back with you for our last segment and talk about kind of what the future looks like, the short term. We've got the short term session or the short session coming up. So if you can hang on tight, we're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Horn, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
And we are back. We have been talking to Todd Stoffel, who's one of the founding members of Timber Unity. And Todd, before we took our break, we were kind of, you know, wanting to look ahead. We've got the 2020 short session, and I'm throwing air quotes up on that because it's supposed to be really short. It's supposed to be dotting some I's, crossing some T's, fixing some math. Do you anticipate any, recurrences? Is anything going to rear its ugly head for you guys, do you think?
Oh, I'm certain that, you know, House Bill 2020 or a variation thereof is coming back. We have another rally planned for February 6th.
Okay.
At the Capitol. Some of the other things we've done just so we can, you know, be a little more than just a bunch of people with trucks, T-shirts, and bumper stickers. Mm-hmm. We filed filed ballot title comments on IP 35, 36, and 37, you know, because how badly they would have impacted forest activities on private lands. We've started the Timber Unity Association, and it's, you know, kind of moving to that next level, you know, to be taken more seriously than just, you know, a bunch of dumb truck drivers and loggers.
I don't think you're dumb, and I don't think most...
Well, figure of speech,
yeah.
But thank you.
But, yeah.
You know, the Timber Unity Association is going to do just that. We'll be more organized and have time to do more, you know, be taken seriously.
So when you say do more, is that more political activity, more of a lobbying? Is that running candidates, helping candidates? What does that look like?
Well, yes, all the above.
Okay.
It will help us get quality candidates that, you know, that we can help get elected, that will help protect, you know, our jobs, people that represent, you know, kind of a shared values, one voice type thing, people that, you know, work with their hands, the blue collar guys and gals.
So you were in Bend last week at the league conference, and that's municipal leaders. So is there any kind of outreach? This is like the city council level, the mayoral level. Where do you guys see your organization sort of interacting at that level?
We encourage people to run for office, and you know, it's time to quit not paying attention to politics,
yes.
Whether it's at the, you know, local, county, state, national level, because politics are paying attention to us.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so, you know, just be informed. Go to the school board, you know, go to the school board meetings, go to city council meetings. We just had some silly roundabouts put in here where I live, and a bunch of us were complaining, and somebody made the comment, well, where were you guys when all the planning was going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a sharp knife. So, you know, we have to get involved our government is of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Absolutely. And this is a conversation I have a lot of times, too, especially at that municipal level. That is the closest to the people. And, you know, that sharp knife, though, was kind of a knife of truth, because all that happens at a planning commission stage. I mean, that's all happening. And those are, again, organizations and groups civically that Timber Unity members, I mean, anybody can get involved in and really have a say in how things are done. And you know, so when you get those roundabouts that you don't like, you could have gotten involved at the beginning of the process and either maybe at least had a say in the design.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, and I had my head in the sand then.
I don't think you're alone, though, Todd. I think so many people did. I think a lot of people think, you know, when I cast that ballot, my job here is done, and it actually really is just beginning.
That's correct. Yes, it is.
So I'm optimistic that, you know, I think between, you know, Timber Unity, there was the medical issue with the moms as far as wanting where there's risk, there needs to be, you know, choice. There are a couple of different groups of organizations that, again, are not partisan. They're very broad base that have really kind of stirred and woken people up.
And it takes all of us. You know, we all can, all the grassroots efforts can band together and have that one giant voice that lets people know, hey, we're here, we're not going anywhere. When, you know, grassroots organizations do a protest or what have you at the Capitol, it's left in better shape than what we found it.
Yeah.
There's no litter left.
Yep.
The you know, nobody gets arrested, no windows get broke.
Funny that.
It's pretty amazing to the amount of respect that people from the rural parts of the world have for each other.
So people that are listening, that are interested, that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a timber worker or a trucker to be part of Timber Unity, I'm assuming?
No, like I said, we're open to everybody. We've got, you know, suburban housewives and nurses, the whole, it doesn't matter. We like everybody, and everybody has equal say.
Are you mostly a Facebook group? Do you have a website? I'm anticipating that we've got people listening that want to learn more, that are interested, that want to participate. How do they find you?
We've got, if you go to www.timberunity.com, that is our website. We're on Facebook. We've got the Timber Unity group, and we've got a page. Follow the page. It's got all the good information on it. And we're on Twitter.
Okay, so you guys are everywhere on social media then.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm betting, too, because you've been at this for a whole 4 months, is that what you said? That you guys are experts in this, but you probably do have a lot of knowledge you can impart to people. Maybe you've hit some hiccups and things like that, so you'd probably be a good resource if there's another issue, somebody else decides, you know what, I'm fed up with this, or I want to take some action. You guys would be a good resource.
Oh, yes. We'd love to help.
Are you looking for donations?
Always.
Good to know. Okay.
With the Timber Unity Association, it is a membership.
Ah, okay. Good to
dues
know.
Dues 501c6, and that's, you know, that'll help us get the message out. And then on the website there is the Timber Unity Pack, and you can donate to that. Oregon has a $50 individual or $100 per couple political contribution that a lot of people don't take advantage of. It's your money.
Yeah.
If you want it to speak for you, put it where you want it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because you're right. A lot of people don't. I mean, basically, you get that back.
Yeah.
And this might be speaking to someone who may want to take that $50 or $100 for a couple and get that in your pockets and get your group some financing.
Yeah, help us help you, you know, and if you need to, you know, Oregonians like to have something for their money that that they spend. So like I hate to plug t-shirts and hats and bumper stickers and all that, but we've got all that available. Show your support.
I have been seeing the Timber Unity logo all over the place.
Yeah.
So you guys, I mean, you're knocking it out of the park as far as getting that image out there, and instantly, it's an instantly recognizable image.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. So Todd, I can't thank you enough. Again, we've been talking to Todd Stoffel, who's one of the founding members of hashtag Timber Unity. Todd, thanks for taking time out of your day to come in and share what's happening. And I bet we're going to see a lot more of you as we head into the short session.
I hope so. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Uh-huh.
Lots of stuff going on. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll be back with one last segment. In the last segment, we're going to get an update on the recall effort, the Oregon Republican Party recall effort from Oregon Republican Party Chairman Bill Currier. He will be on with us in our last segment. So once again, you are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
That's timely since we were talking about wood products and all kinds of stuff. We are waiting for Oregon Republican Party Chair Bill Currier to call in to give us an update on what's happening with the Oregon Republican Party's effort to recall Governor Kate Brown. So my understanding is that Bill is on the line. Bill, welcome to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Denise and Dave. Been a while, but I'm excited to be back on.
It's good to have you there. We're kind of coming into crunch time right now, so I wanted to have you on to give our listeners an update. We've got some dates and deadlines and, you know, just kind of give people kind of a sense of what's happening with the Oregon Republican Party recall effort of Governor Kate Brown.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the opportunity. October 7 is the big deadline that people need to remember. That's the day we need to have all of the petitions turned in or received by. So, you know, if they're mailing them, they really need to get on it. Yeah. We know there's a lot, tens of thousands out there that have been collected but not yet submitted to us. So that's really the key. If we get all those in, we'll be fine. We'll cross the finish line because we are validating every single one of them, every single signature that comes in to make sure that they're valid and that we're not submitting bad ones. That really helps us make sure that none are discarded. And statistically, they don't throw out extra ones because of the bad ones.
And that's always a challenge, yeah.
What's that?
That's always a challenge. And yeah. I know you guys are doing it on the fly as they're coming in. You've got people. Oh, my gosh. The volunteers that have been working on this are amazing.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely. Statewide, the volunteers collecting.
Yeah.
Just incredible sense of commitment and dedication to removing, you know, Oregon's worst governor. And they're doing this for all the right reasons. Yeah. You know, they're not motivated by personal gain. Mm-hmm. They really just want to see Oregon, you know, get back on track. And so they're just motivated. And I'm so honored to be able to work with them and represent their voice with this petition effort.
Earlier in the show, we had one of the founding members of Timber Unity on and talking about, I mean, as far as just the grassroots, the motivated people, the people that have woken up, the 2019 session has woken people up. So I would imagine that all those, you know, hey, hashtag woke people are probably flocking to sign this petition because it really is run. It's not necessarily just Republicans signing this thing.
No, it's in fact, it's 33% non-Republican and over half of those are Democrats. And so if you take those numbers, and let's say we had a special election, which, by the way, would be the special election to recall the governor would be end of November or early December at the latest, depending on how quickly the Secretary of State verifies them and how quickly the governor responds with her decision whether or not to resign, which, of course, we all assume she's not going to do that.
Right.
But during that special election, based on typical turnout of Republicans, plus the 33% of non-Republicans that have signed, this recall would be successful.
Yeah, that's the sense that I'm kind of getting out there as well. So we're kind of, like I said, we're getting down to the stretch. The 14th is when all the signatures have to be into the Secretary of State. Is that correct?
Yes, we need them by the 7th so that we have a week to verify them and make sure that what we're turning in is all good signatures. And, you know, I mean, we'll have some stragglers come in that last week, and we can handle that.
Okay.
But what we can't handle is tens of thousands on the last couple of days where we don't have a chance to validate them.
I was actually out and about last week, and I talked to some people from some other counties that, I mean, we've got people that are sitting on hundreds, if not thousands, of signatures. So because we're getting so close, is it best for them to bring them to the Oregon Republican Party offices?
Well, they could certainly bring them to the office in Salem, at 752 Hawthorne. But they can also mail them. It's not too late to mail them as long as they do it, you know, in the next few days.
Maybe just today.
Generally, every county generally has, most of the counties have a county party office or a location that can be turned in local to them.
Okay. So I would just want to make sure that the date to really watch is the 7th.
Yes. You know, they can get more information, download petitions at katebrownrecall.org. I'll repeat that. It's Kate Brown Recall. All one word, katebrownrecall.org. They can get information there and offer to help out or download petitions. We're adding more information there. I'm going to try to have a link added today that they can click on where they can see all the locations statewide where they can sign local to them.
Okay. So before we let you go, I want to talk the enthusiasm, the motivation. Like I said, the people that I've talked to, the volunteers, everyone is very upbeat. Everybody is working their tookuses off. I mean, these are people that are devoting massive amounts of time and treasure to this. How optimistic are you about the success of this?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
I mean, we're down to the wire.
Yep.
We have to continue collecting at the same pace we have. But again, most importantly, we have to get people to turn in what they have already collected right now, you know, as soon as possible so that we have time to validate them. Because the worst thing in the world we can do is turn in a bunch of bad ones and then have, you know, 10% of our overall submission discarded or rejected. And we just can't afford that. We're, you know, it's going to be very, very close. So, I don't want to give people the idea that we're done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
We're not done until every one of them has been validated and turned in.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have you on again for a little bit next week to kind of give us an update once we pass that 7th deadline to get a sense of things. But for the time being, I want to thank you, Bill Currier, Oregon Republican Party Chairman, for popping on real quick and letting us know, giving us an update, motivate the troops, and giving valuable information to people listening.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. So there you go. So we're getting down to the wire. It's important that we do remember that date, the 7th. And I know that the offices down here in Salem were just kind of the hub because the Oregon Republican Party office is down here as well. They are doing their due diligence. They are verifying those signatures as they go. There is another effort out there.
I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, there is another effort out there. I think there was a joint statement that came out a few weeks ago that they were working together. But then I heard another interview on another station from the gentleman who's running that one, and it was a little, so I'm kind of okay. I, you know, basically the bottom line has been sign both.
Right. Yeah. Or carry both.
Or carry both. And so, you know, I think there's optimism, but again, I can't stress enough that the people volunteering, the across the board, the nonpartisan nature of this, I mean, granted, it's been driven by the Republicans, but I know just at the different fairs and things like that have been happening where you've had people from all walks of life, all parties clamoring to sign this thing, because I just think, you know, the level of dissatisfaction is so high.
Yeah. Well, to have that many Democrats signing it too. Yeah. And then not to mention independents.
Yep.
You know,
non-affiliated voters.
Non-affiliated.
I mean, the Oregon Motor Voter, I think you're initially right off the bat, you're just put out as a nav. But then I was hearing some things about people who were checking their registrations and they thought they'd been Republican or Democrat forever. And it turns out, nope, you're a nav.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
So you want to go check. There are ways to go ahead and to check that. But I think it's important to check that, especially as we're coming up. I mean, granted, we're coming up on the end of the year. It's Christmas time's coming up, Thanksgiving. But starting in February, we're going to have more politics and more reasons to stay engaged.
I think when I first got my driver's license, I think it was default Democrat.
Well, we didn't have Motor Voter back when you and I were getting our first driver's license. That was way back in the day. I took when my did... driver's test in a Flintstone mobile. I had to use my feet to.
Wow, that's
no,
oh,
I didn't.
That's old.
Although I didn't get mine on the first time out because I hit the car next to me.
What?
Trying to get out of the parking space with the driver instructor.
Things
my family
I didn't know.
Has never let me live that down. I literally lifted the car up next to me and I looked at the instructor and went, "Does this mean I fail?" And she basically fell out of the car and ran away from me. So, yes.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple of times of other instructors when I was waiting to take my test.
I did it in full view of everybody who turned around and heard the scraping metal on metal. And so that was not my finest moment.
Nothing like that sound.
Nothing. So, but yeah, I think they are NAVs right now. So it's important to check that. There, I don't remember the website. I could probably, if somebody's interested, you could shoot me an email and I could find that for you. But you want to make sure that you are registered in the party that you are registered in, especially as we come through. We've got the next election cycle coming up as the primary in May.
Right.
And city council races are decided at that point. And we've got, all the odds are open on the city of Salem. Those
are
all up.
Yeah.
And so you need to be to make sure that you're registered to vote because those are really important. Races.
Those affect you the most.
Well, yeah, and we see, and I know you and Brent talk about what's happening with the city of Salem, with the Salem City Council, those decisions that are made at that
all
council
the time.
Level.
Yeah.
Yeah, affect you in a couple of weeks. In fact, we're going to have Kaiser Mayor Kathy Clark is going
to
join us.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to her.
Yeah, because there's all kinds of stuff going on in Kaiser, and that municipal level of government is the closest to you. And I always mention the anecdote, you know, you run into them at the grocery store trying to buy a ham at the deli, and you can chat with them then and tell them how you feel about things. It's nice to sometimes tell them that, you know, to not only catch them when you don't like what they're doing, but to say, hey, good job on that, you know, whatever.
I would gladly say, hey, good job on that.
Yeah.
Well, stay out of my straws, though, and my cups and my plastic bags.
Didn't that just start? Isn't that in Portland now? You have to ask now for a plastic straw and a plastic fork?
Yes.
Yeah, crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm tired. I've never been a fan of banning things. I am not a fan of banning things. I'm you know, the same thing happening with vaping and Juul and all these other things.
It's so strange.
I'm not a fan of banning things. Educate people, sure.
No,
but,
that's
you know,
control.
Yeah, it is massive control, and I'm never a fan of that, especially by government overlords
right.
at whatever level of government. Stay out of it.
That's not their job.
No.
And Brent and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah. And it's, Brent knows as a former city councilor, what his job was.
Yeah, it's not the city council's job to ban your straws or plastic bags or cups or
smoking
whatever,
in parks, anything like that.
Anything like that. It's their job is to run the city and provide safety and water and garbage and all that kind of stuff. Most of the garbage actually is private now, isn't it?
They do the rates, but then you know you're adding fees and different things like that to bills, and you know there's a lot. Again,
now they're adding a fee onto your utility bill to help cover the gap that they have.
So I bet you and Brent have a little rants about that every now and again.
And we
I'm
rail
sure.
the mayor all the time on that, but he wanted to put it to a vote.
I know.
To
he was one of three.
The voters,
one of three: Lewis, Nanke, and Chuck Bennett. So, well, this has been a fantastic show. I loved having Todd on from Timber Unity, and of course, Chairman
it's
Bill Currier.
It's interesting how they started.
Yeah, very interesting. I think that was a lot of good information for anyone interested. They're basically all over Facebook. I see them everywhere. And same thing, ORP. You can go to MarionCountyGOP.org. We'll give you information. There's lots of information about the recall. If you have not signed, you can let us know here at KYKN, and we'll get to that as well.
And not to mention TimberUnity.com.
Yes, absolutely.
Help support the grassroots.
You bet.
Thanks for joining us on Wednesdays with Denise. See you next week, Denise.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.